Well, I remember when I first came out, or rather, my mother outed me. She used to drive me home sometimes, and we'd have chats in the car before I came into my flat. And she asked me one night, "Naz, are you a lesbian?" She just came out and said it. My mum's Italian. And I was a bit startled by this question, and I hadn't yet started a relationship with anyone. It was in that period after Alan where I was just going to lots of things and kind of exploring, but not meeting anyone yet. And I said to my mum, "Do you want the straight answer?" Meaning honest, but I didn't realise I was kind of... So I told her yes. And she was fine, and I was really blown away that my mother, I mean, there has been quite a lot of homophobia in her part of Italy, especially when she was younger, and even, you know, it's continuing on. And my father seemed very accepting. He's from Pakistan. He was from Pakistan. So I felt very grateful. But the first time I took home my first girlfriend to meet my parents there, I went to visit them, and my mum started crying, and I realised, oh, I love mum so much, but I think sometimes she's a bit, I don't want to use this word lightly, butch phobic, but she'd love it if all lesbians, I mean, she said things to me many times when I used to have my women only parties here in my flat. My father was the only honorary man who would come visit, because the first time I had one, he was sitting in the car outside, and I said to mum, "No, bring him in." And he loved it. He was in his element, charming all the women. But my mum would say horrible things like, you know, "Why are they all so masculine looking? And why have they all got short hair?" And that would be really hurtful. And, you know, I love to celebrate the butch and honour that, you know, courage that people have to be themselves. And I feel very upset when that's not respected. I remember being at the London Lesbian and Gay Centre one night, and my friends were at one end of the place, across the dance floor to the bar to get some drinks. And I was waiting to be served, and in my head I was thinking, this guy is just serving the guys, he's not serving me. And I felt like I'd been waiting there a really long time. And then this guy standing next to me pinched my bottom. I was so appalled that that could happen in what's meant to be a safe place. And an Asian kind of club, Asian-friendly club, and I felt like he was a white racist person who'd come in and was tormenting me. And I was so angry with him that I picked up a glass with dregs of beer in it. And I'd done this once before, years before, when someone had done something similar, and I threw it in his face, thinking, "You are not doing that to me." And the next thing, he did the same to me. I was so shocked. I really didn't expect that. And then the next thing, even though I was in these little gold stilettos, slingback things, we were having a little physical fight. I've never been in a fight in my life. And I was trying to kick him and push him away. And I don't know what he was trying to do. And then we were being pulled apart. And I mean, you know, I'm 5'2". I'm not a big kind of huge thing. So I was very shaken by that. But other than that, it was a fabulous place, and I've got so many happy memories of tea dancers there. And I used to go to the ACT UP group to kind of plan what our next action would be, like once we catapulted condoms into Pentonville prison, because in those days men weren't allowed condoms, even though it was known how dangerous it was to have sex without condoms. I wasn't very good at getting them over, and I was shocked at how expensive they were to buy. But they feel like really good London memories, and I had a lot of fun with one friend. We used to hang out a lot. She lived in a road called Pleasant Place, and she had a very tall house with lots of floors, and she used to make me think of Mrs. Madrigal, who, because she'd rent it out to all these different lovely queer people. And one day I was sitting having breakfast there, and I stayed there so much I had a toothbrush there. We were very close friends and I was always over there. And there at the breakfast table was a school friend of mine from my year, from my school in Streatham. So that was like, wow, small world. And I do love the way that 6 degrees of separation in the lesbian London world becomes like one or two, and how we often know people in common. I love that, connect all those connections across different ages and different histories. And then there was one amazing relationship that started in, it's very romantic, in the Isle of Lamu. I started chatting to these two women. I thought they were together, but they were just best mates, and they were traveling around Africa, and we got chatting, and there was so much electricity in the air, and we started corresponding, and I used to get these amazing letters from her travels, and then she came back early. And I remember it was a Saturday night, and I'd organised a dinner party. I had no idea she was about to come back to London, and I had 6 people, which is what my table fits, and I'd been preparing food all night, the night before, to make the perfect everything. And I got a phone call from her from the airport, and she'd just landed. And the question was, can I come straight over? And it was like, well, we hadn't even kissed at that point. You know, we'd just been corresponding. And someone had dropped out of the dinner party, so that it was funny. She turned up as you know, there was an extra space after all. And she stayed that night. And I don't think we parted company for quite a long time. And that was a bit of a whirlwind romance. And I think, you know, there were lots of really special moments, really happy times. And I haven't ever been able to ride a bike. And she tried to teach me how to ride on her old bike that she'd had as a child. And I remember going all the way around where she lived in her council block without falling off. And I hadn't realised, I thought I was doing it on my own discreetly, because it is a bit embarrassing being in your 20s as I was then, and falling off a bike when you're learning. And I'd gone round a whole loop without falling off. And the next thing I heard, all this cheering and clapping from all these people who had been hanging out the window watching me. And as soon as I heard that, I got a bit panicky and fell off. But I crashed into this car and dented it. It was a BMW with a guy sitting in there, not looking very happy. And she was amazing. She came running down the steps. I was in tears, in shock. And she soothed it all down with this guy about his car, and she was going to fix it. And she was really good at fixing things. And she got me really brave to handle. I sanded my floors because she gave me the confidence to do that. And then my parents got me to do the front of their little restaurant that they had at that time. And it was really good. I felt like I was getting a bit more confident with DIY stuff and other things. But yeah, she's the only person I think who's left me. And I remember being devastated and a bit shocked. And I don't really know why, because I think if I trace things back, we'd gone on this trip to India, and one time I came home from work and she announced that she'd invited her nephews to join us, and I was a bit taken aback that she'd done that without discussing it first. And one was 9 and one was 11, and I was like, blimey, that's quite a responsibility. And she wasn't even out to her family, they were very homophobic. And one day her dad said, I don't think God is angry with lesbians, because if that was the case, they would be getting AIDS as well. That was her family. And so we went on this trip to India without being out, and they'd say things like, Auntie, why is your bed stuck to Nazreen's bed? And, you know, it was uncomfortable not being out. You know, I